Sports Network. He's not Rush. He's not Sean. He's Dan. Dan Newman. And as usual, he's got the inside scoop on what's really happening in D.C. and everywhere else in the U.S. and the world. TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Truth News Network. The party of inclusion or exclusion, Democrat or Republican? One thing I must admit, the Democrat Party in general and congressional Democrats in particular are masters at the art of communication, not only giving Americans complete narratives on everything politically that happens, but doing so immediately and thoroughly. Republicans just do not get that communication does well. An appropriate and current example of GOP failures in this is the lack of coordinated promotion of the really good things that have happened during the first 2 years of the Trump presidency. Across-the-board tax reductions for Americans, a tremendous increase in gross domestic product, personal and corporate incomes saw dramatic improvements, reduction of caustic government regulations, marked improvement in trade deals, cancellation of NAFTA, replaced by a new agreement between Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. that's much friendlier and fairer to the U.S. than was NAFTA. Huge increases in federal revenue in spite of tax reductions. Corporations bringing hundreds of billions of dollars back to the U.S. because of many of the above changes that resulted in major corporate expansions and the additional federal revenue that resulted. And the massive decrease in American unemployment, with the number of Americans employed, including women and people of color, at the highest level in American history. Gee, one would think Republicans would be shouting that information from every hilltop nonstop. But they haven't. And the Republican Party paid a steep price for their neglect, losing control of the House of Representatives. Meanwhile, across the aisle, Democrats have kept pushing on the accelerator, ramping up their rhetoric comprised of nonstop attacks on everything Donald Trump, disregarding the unmistakable and undeniable positive changes for Americans while promising to undo all of these improvements when they regain power. You would think that Americans, when confronted with those Democrat promises, the nation would run fast and far from the Democrat Party. But Americans apparently turn deaf ears and blind eyes to the increases in their payroll deposits, the values of their 401ks and IRAs, and knowing Trump policies made all those happen. One would think, because of those and other great economic changes, Americans would have kept those in office who made all that goodness happen, at least in the House of Representatives. But that did not happen. Many are asking, if things are so much better, why would Americans put Democrats back in control of the House? Perception is reality. Perception is reality. What perception of reality are those Americans seeing that would result in that? The House of Representatives going back to Democrat control. The one painted with the amazingly effective brush owned by the Democrat Party and the way they use it to paint. Democrats seldom fracture in support of their party causes. Even with the heartbreaks of the 2016 election, Democrats somehow found a way to stay on their eternal message. Democrats care more for Americans than Republicans do. Democrats stand up for racial equality, economic equality, gender equality, clean air, more government assistance, against racism, bigotry, social injustice, homophobia, Islamophobia, xenophobia, and all those Americans, mostly white and mostly conservative, who either embrace those negatives or simply find themselves the target of Democrats who are simply sustaining the Democrat Party mantra. And it works. So, leading the pack. Amid all of these isms and phobias Democrats have taken authority over, Their leading cause and multi-decade calling card for their messaging is simple. One word. Racism. We're not going to go into a racist or racism discussion today, other than to simply illustrate just how effective Democrat Party messaging has been using it. As an aside, and in a way of illustration, please note how fragmented and disillusioned did the Democrat Party appear immediately after the Hillary presidential loss to Trump. As recently as 60 days ago or so, every political talk show was still pointing to the imminent death of the Democrat Party that would last for decades for their lack of unity, party platform. They didn't have one. No cohesive and binding message on which to campaign during the midterms, and there was no party leadership. But they still won. Surprising to many was the reappearance of that time-worn fundamental of 20th century Democrats that has served their party so well. They returned to what they have used so effectively through generations that many have used to rally a beaten football team or to invigorate a war-torn army. The basic tenets of whose those beaten really are. For the midterms, Democrats went back to their roots. They tweaked their message a bit, but then they rammed their values down the throats of unassuming and disoriented American voters. Identity politics. Leading the pack of all the labels of identity politics and the politicians and others who use them was their always uniting cry, racist. Democrat messaging is fundamental again, and here it is. If you're not an all-in Democrat, but are a conservative, a libertarian, or just an independent, you are a racist. It matters not today if you're black. It's wrong to be just black. You must own all the elements of Democrats' identity politics and outwardly show them to all, or your scarlet letter is not just the letter A, it's the word, racist. They and only they determine the criteria for labeling racist. Who wears that label? And the timing for revealing the label. With their pummeling in 2016, they went quickly and quietly back to the war of identity politics. And immediately, every conservative, every person who may not be really conservative, but they're not really leftist Democrats, all of them became racist. But I'm here today to call them out. Democrats did not invent racism, but they perfected it as a political party. And they have weaponized the word racist and its use. And when we come back, we're going to go into details. That's just ahead at the Truth News Network.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say. How about China? Germany? How about people from the North Pole? Or Mars? What about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut? Yeah, a barbershop quartet. Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers? What about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip? Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's to you. Lipton tea can do that.
Election cycles come and go. White House reporters come and go. The truth is a diamond. Because it's forever. TNN, the Truth News Network. Your jeweler today is Dan Newman.
Democrats claim that they have always supported equal rights for black Americans, and the Republicans are racist who always oppose them. But those claims, are flat-out lies. From its founding in 1854, the Republican Party led the fight to end slavery and then eradicate the racist Jim Crow system that held blacks down, right up to securing the passage of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Democrats opposed the Republicans at every turn. So, let's take an honest look at the history of civil rights in America. On the legislative level, congressional Republicans proposed and Democrats opposed a series of Reconstruction-era laws intended to elevate blacks, in particular, to force southern states to enforce the constitutional amendments extending full civil rights and voting rights to blacks. These included the Civil Rights Act of 1866, the Reconstruction Act of 1867, the Enforcement Act of 1870, the Ku Klux Klan Act of 1871, and the Civil Rights Act of 1875. In fact, Democrats consistently opposed legislative efforts to confer voting rights and other civil rights on blacks, including the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the Constitution, and even the 19th Amendment, which granted women the right to vote. Here are the facts about all of those. April 8, 1864, the 13th Amendment banning slavery passed the U.S. Senate 38-6, thank God, with 100% Republican support amid stiff Democrat Party opposition. January 31, 1865, the 13th Amendment banning slavery passed the U.S. House by a vote of 119-56 with 8 abstentions. All 103 Republicans voted yes, along with 16 Democrats. Republican President Abraham Lincoln signed it, sent it on to the states with final ratification on December 18, 1865. March 27, 1866, Democrat President Andrew Johnson vetoed a bill granting citizenship to blacks. June 8, 1866, the U.S. Senate passed the Republicans' 14th Amendment, guaranteeing due process and equal protection of the law to all citizens. Nearly all Republicans voted yes. 100% of Democrats voted no. June 13, 1866, the U.S. House passed the U.S. Senate's version of the Republican-sponsored 14th Amendment by a vote of 120-32. All Republicans voted yes. Those Democrats, 32 of them, voted no. January 10, 1878, U.S. Senator Aaron Sargent, Republican of California, introduced the Susan B. Anthony Amendment for Women's Suffrage. The Democrat-controlled Senate defeated it repeatedly before the election of a Republican House and Senate that guaranteed its approval in 1919. February 8, 1894, the Democrat Congress and Democrat President Grover Cleveland joined to repeal the Republicans' Enforcement Act, which had enabled blacks to vote. A Democrat Congress with a Democrat president did that. May 6, 1960, Republican President Eisenhower signed the Civil Rights Act of 1960, expanding protections for blacks in voting. In the House, the measure was approved by 89% of Republicans, 52% of Democrats. After a Democrat filibuster, the Senate approved it 71-18. No Republicans opposed. All 18 no votes came from Democrats. A history of shame. The Democrat Party's militant arm following the Civil War was the Ku Klux Klan. I want to say that again. The Democrat Party's militant arm following the Civil War was the Ku Klux Klan. The Ku Klux Klan was founded by Democrats. Prominent Democratic West Virginia Senator Robert Byrd was a high official, as was Hugo Black, a Democrat who became a U.S. Supreme Court justice. For 88 years, Democrats in the South enforced a vicious Jim Crow system of outright discrimination against blacks, particularly measures aimed at preventing them from voting. They opposed Republican-sponsored civil rights legislation at the state and federal levels. In 1964, a Republican U.S. Senate majority introduced and passed the Civil Rights Act despite a filibuster by Democratic senators. Similarly, Republicans led the fight for the Voting Rights Act of 1965 when 94% of GOP lawmakers in the House voted for it, while 27% of Democrat House members voted against it. Today, Democrats would like us to forget that they were the party of Jim Crow, the Klan, and racists such as Woodrow Wilson, the globally thinking progressive who, upon taking office as president, promptly segregated the U.S. Civil Service and instituted policies designed to discriminate against blacks and other minorities. Democrats defended tooth and nail a plantation-style racial spoil system right up to 1964, and then converted it into a federal version with welfare policies that destroyed the black family and institutionalized dependence on government. To this day, the party promotes destructive, addictive welfare policies that keep its constituents dependent on who? On the government. And therefore, getting those who are dependent on the government to do whatever it takes, vote for those who promise to take care of them. No one is born a racist. That is a learned character trait. We've written extensively here about racism and its horrors through human history. Racism and racists are not peculiar to the U.S. or the South or any other region of this country or any other. Racism is a developed trait that societies and groups take ownership of, and it will exist through our future as long as human nature is human nature, which means it exists and will permanently. There has never been, is not now, nor ever will be, a utopian society on earth that is racial blind as a country or a people. That does not mean, however, that people cannot find ways to disallow racism from devouring their culture or their society. Just as racism is learned, so can and should be its antonym, inclusion. The inclusion of any kind that puts us people together with other people who are different, and those differences being accepted. In small part, in many small ways, we all do it every day. Where we work, in our neighborhoods, in our social circles, and most of the time in our churches. How can such inclusion be possible? It happens only when people choose to do it. Racism happens when people who have chosen to be racist reject the inclusion of others who are different in their lives. Racism happens when those who embrace the politics of identity selectively choose winners and losers. Winners are included and losers are excluded because of race from their life circles. Racism happens when the attitude of entitlement is given to someone who has been allowed to possess a position of identity authority over another. And racist are those who unilaterally or through some joint racist associates force that identity authority on others. When will racism that is the result of political identity end? I'm sad to say, but I doubt it ever will. But I hold hope that we can water it down over time and in doing so cripple its effects on the next generation and beyond. The only way to do that is to start at our home, in our family, in our circle of influence, with our friends and extended family members, and with our fellow employees. Today's Democrats have used identity politics effectively for decades and have quickly and quietly reclaimed a significant piece of their past in that area. But as always, the only way anyone can use it is and if others allow its effectiveness to control all or parts of their lives. You want to stop it? Everybody will say, yeah, we want to stop it. Tell the next person that you know and you hear, label you or someone you know, exert control over another because of race or ethnic differences, call them out. Embarrass them in front of their peers and yours, and then let them respond. Most Americans care dearly for respect and camaraderie with others. Most Americans do not want to be alone. To that end, most Americans, when exposed to the truth, the real truth, and not a political narrative or political perspective with no foundation in fact at all, will do an about-face. Why don't you try it? Let's give them a chance. Let's give ourselves a chance. You know what? It's worked before, and it could, and if we let it, it probably will work again. That's going to conclude today's story here at truthnewsnet.org. I want to say thanks to my college roommate, my roomie down south, way down south in Miami, Jim, for his contribution to the story. For a more extensive documented history of the Democrat Party's historic opposition to civil rights for blacks, see The Truth About Jim Crow. You can Google it, or if you go to the written version of this blog, down at the bottom, it's got the link on which you can click to get to the story.
Your source of truth in a chaotic world. 24/7, online, on your devices. TNN, the Truth News Network. TruthNewsNet.org.